Second barn fire in 2 days in Fond du Lac County destroys another barn. We'll get the latest from Fond du Lac County Sheriff's Captain Ryan Walchmidt coming up on the final segment of the show. Also, motorists not obeying the barricades on Highway 23 near Rosendale. We'll ask Captain Walchmidt about that. Fond du Lac Fire Chief Pete O'Leary delivers a budget preview at tonight's Fond du Lac City Council meeting, and he joins us on this segment of the show. But Pete, first of all, your reaction to what happened in Sun Prairie last night?
Well, obviously, it's a it's a horrific event for the fire department, the whole Sun Prairie community. Nobody ever would expect something like that to happen in their home, in their community, and. And they're, obviously, they can't even imagine the, trying to take on the devastation of what happened with the gas leak and explosion, but also to lose a firefighter in the process is just, it's unthinkable. And I certainly have heartfelt thoughts and prayers go out to that whole community, and especially the firefighters.
I mentioned, I was just interviewing a guy that lives a block away. He heard the explosion, obviously, felt his apartment building was jolted by the force of the explosion. This was a like so many of these situations, they happen every year in Fond du Lac. You guys respond to gas leaks where a contractor accidentally strikes a gas main. You show up, Alliant Energy shows up, they shut off the gas. You patch the leak, you evacuate the surrounding homes or businesses. And fortunately, in Fond du Lac, in the 30 years I've been here, again, every year this happens. Fortunately, there's been no explosion. But this shows you how dangerous that can be.
Yeah, there's several of them in the United States every year, and they can level a structure. They can damage a whole city block with collateral damage, flying debris, vibration. That's that your interview had earlier. That the windows are blown out, and it's a violent event, and when it's catastrophic. And certainly, we take natural gas leaks, smell of gas, whether it's propane or natural gas, gasoline, all those things, the vapors, any those uncontrolled vapors that could be accumulating and get. Get to an ignition source in a confined space can have violent reactions. And we saw it in Sun Prairie. We see it often. And that's why when, natural gas by itself does not have any odor to it. The gas company puts that odor in so people will know what to do. I mean, if you smell gas, natural gas, call 911. I mean, we get calls, and sometimes they smell it outside of their gas meter outside. And, they don't want to bother us, but, you're not bothering us. I mean, certainly we would rather go and get a hold of the gas company and mitigate the problem or let you know that this is some kind of off gas. But it's when this gas gets concentrated in an area, it can be something as simple as flipping a light switch, ringing a doorbell, things like that can cause the explosion. And it is something that you can't ever emphasize it enough. Right. If you smell it, you got to say something. Get out, evacuate, ventilate, and call us.
Let me ask you this. The guy who I talked with said he was taking a nap. He heard a knock at the door. He went to the door. Nobody was there. He assumes that was the fire department going around and just alerting people. They didn't have time to stop and wait at each apartment. They were just trying to get people out of there. And then he walked into the kitchen and he saw people running in the opposite direction. This is before the explosion, and people yelling, gas leak, gas leak. And they're running in the opposite direction like they know. And then moments later, the explosion. What does that tell you? Because, I mean, like I said, you guys respond to these things. You keep things under control. You know there's a threat, but you control it. You evacuate residents. This tells me that they seemed to know or maybe had an indication that this one wasn't going to go well.
Well, it depends on the type of line. I mean, certainly you know, and not to say residential service cannot be deadly and it can't be catastrophic. It absolutely can. I'll remind you of one that did happen in Fond du Lac. You may have forgot. But in this case, if you put a service main, I mean, a 2-, 3-inch, 4-inch main, I mean, that's a high concentration of natural gas. What we worry about a lot of times is the gas getting back into other buildings. It can go back in and it can backfeed into other residences and other structures and businesses. So that's what we're in. We're checking to make sure those other structures don't have a gas leak. It can go underneath ground, and it can go up into cracks and foundations. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that gas can penetrate into another building. So that's why we take it so seriously and get people out. We have people frequently, you know, is this really necessary? Well, yeah, it is necessary, because if it goes wrong, you don't want to be inside your house next door. You might become a victim as well. But if you remember, early morning, about 5 years ago, it was over by Holy Family Catholic Church. We had a townhouse or duplex or whatever under construction, and we believed that there had been some kind of gas leak. The house was just going to get moved into the next day, and there was an explosion.
Off the bypass. Yep, I remember.
Yeah, exactly. I was at my house, you know, off at Ryanzi Road, and it shook. I knew exactly what happened. I knew exactly there was an explosion. I was just waiting for the call at that point. There was a fire, an explosion. Thankfully, it didn't kill anybody, but if there's somebody in that house that day, they would have been a different outcome, absolutely, because of the violent reaction this natural gas has when it gets an ignition source.
Are you surprised that there was only one fatality?
You know, absolutely. I mean, it took time of day, 6:45 at night, a weekday, in summertime. There's a lot of things going on. I don't know the logistics of what the fire department was doing and how they were reacting, but quite frankly, whatever they were doing it well, because had they not gotten alerted, got people out and get them evacuated, the outcome certainly could have been different. I mean, there's assisted living nearby. You see the people getting actually wheeled off. I watched some video footage in hospital beds trying to get to them shelter. And so, the days, weeks, months, years to come, this is going to be another lesson learned kind of thing. And what did we learn? What went right? What could they have done differently, if anything? But certainly these gas leaks should not ever be minimized, and people, residents have got to realize if they smell something, get out, call us from another place. Don't try to grab all your belongings. Just get yourself out and get yourself far and far away, because Sun Prairie is proof positive that the violent reaction that the natural gas has when it hits the ignition source.
All right. So what, now obviously you're not there, but just based on your experience, what are fire crews doing today, and when do you anticipate that they would give the all clear to allow residents to go back?
Well, first of all, I mean, the gas company has got the biggest event right now, and that is trying to restore gas, and they have to do that systematically, building by building, to make sure that they don't have any other leaks, because the ignition, the explosion could have damaged gas lines. So the worst thing they could do is turn the gas back on before they are positive they have enough resources there, and they will do it as systematically as they can. It's going to take time, quite a long time. I suspect it'll be several days before they'll ever be able to get a good handle on that. So they'll be sending a lot of crews in there. Also, you have the investigation of the fire. Where did it start? What caused it? And going through the rubble, making sure everybody's accounted for. The fire investigation from the Department of Criminal Investigations, DCI, is going to be there, and OSHA, and you name it. There's going to be all kinds of investigators there, making sure that they pinpoint exactly where things occurred, and try to piece it all together. So I suspect, and then obviously you get the city, the Sun Prairie firefighters, they're grieving. So there's mutual aid resources, Mavis resources that are there, that will continue to be there, so that these firefighters can be with their families and take care of their fallen brother. And, I suspect our state resources will be there for another, week or so, just helping them mourn and move on and build and continue to protect their community, which still has to happen, right? We cannot take the day off, so we're going to be doing that as well to help them as best we can.
The person I talked to just before you came on the air was good friends, and we're with that firefighter who also happened to, besides being a firefighter in Sun Prairie, he also worked at the bar that exploded.
Right.
And he said, the guy that I talked to said this guy was a great guy. was married, had two young children, and so our thoughts and prayers are with his family. It's surreal. It really is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these guys, and you know, whether you're a career firefighter, volunteer, part time, it doesn't matter. You go out, answer these calls because you love the community and you love what you do, and you're there to help and take care of people. And certainly to have a explosion like that takes a firefighter's life is really a testament to the community and how they are together. And I suspect they will band together, that whole community, with that firefighter's family and children, and make sure that they're not forgotten. And you're right. It's just an awful feeling to think that they're going to have to endure that, plus all the damage to their homes and places where they live, and the uncertainty about what things look like when they can't get back to their homes. Yeah. So, days and weeks and months to come is going to be a long healing process for those folks.
Man, oh man. All right, you're going to be at the city council meeting tonight giving the council a preview on the fire department budget. What's your message?
Well, I mean, as I do every year, try to give a positive spin on the things that we've been doing. I like to encourage them to continue to fund us and to give them an idea, a little snapshot of where we've been, what we've got going on right now, and then, a little look into the future and to see how things are, laying out for us in the years to come. So I hope my brief slideshow has some good data in there that can, that they can absorb and ask, whatever questions they'd like to afterwards. So, we've had another good year, and we're hoping that, that continues on. So I don't expect any big surprises, but I certainly want to give some information to them.
What's the big ticket item next year, Pete?
Well, we have about $1.2 million. We have a fire truck that is going to be replaced, and normally it would be a fire engine, which is about a little less than half of that. But we have an ailing reserve ladder truck, and our thought process is we, instead of having putting another $1.2 million into a ladder truck in a couple of years to have one sit in reserve, which we don't use as often, we thought that they have a type of vehicle which is a ladder and an engine combined. It's called a Quint. And we're thinking we could get two bangs for the buck, same thing, and utilize have a little bit better versatility day to day with our equipment, plus not have a full-blown ladder truck sitting in reserve. The one we have is it needs to be replaced sooner than we had hoped, but it's had a useful life, but it's certainly not reliable. So we want to change that, and in the process, we'll have another fire engine take its place as reserve, which we're probably in more need of than that. So a little complicated, but that's the big ticket item for next year is funding that fire truck, in the future.
Is the training center ready to go?
It's getting there. I mean, we ordered the equipment for our for the fire training tower, the burn tower. That's all been ordered. It should be here in the fall. I know that our city engineer has been working just on some cost issues and making sure we got everything squared away. But we're getting close, and I hope before the new year we have that up and going. But time's going to tell. It's a long process, but it's one that once we get it going, it's gonna bear a lot of fruit for law enforcement and for the fire service for many, many years to come.
Fond du Lac Fire Chief Pete O'Leary, great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.